Be seated, hallelujah. And as I said, this morning's message is called In Jesus' Name. And all those songs related about the power of the name of Jesus. So much power in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. We'll look at verses 9 through 11. 9 through 11. I got to give Shirley a minute while she writes it and flips her pages. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted Jesus when he raised him from the dead, victorious over death and hell. Now Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all authorities and power. God conferred upon Jesus the highest name. Jesus, in his resurrected body, is seated at the right hand of the Father. So the body was resurrected. And you know, a thought came when that body walked through doors without opening them. Well, look what you got to look forward to when you get a resurrected body. Ooh, hallelujah. But Jesus left us his name. His name with all its power, authority, might, and dominion is ours today. Today, right now. A lot of you said, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, but did you hear it and did you get it down in? Or did you get it just here? It's a difference between here and here. When it comes from within, it makes a difference. We exercise the authority Jesus gave us in his name by speaking God's word. See, in the name of Jesus, every sickness, every bit of poverty, and anything with a name that's hindering us has to flee, because it is all under the authority of the name that's above every name. Yeah. Start using the name to rule and to reign over all the works of the enemy. You know, in Matthew 18, verse 20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," that's Jesus speaking, "in my name," says, "I am there in the midst of them." Selah means Jesus is in the house, folks. Two or more gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of us. Jesus is in the house. The name. See, in Jesus' name, the name above all names, the powerful name of Jesus, in Luke 10:17, Shirley, it says this, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Demons are subject to us in Jesus' name. You getting that? Come on. Where's Debbie at? I was going to have her go get a bunch of AA batteries, because I got to get the amen-ers fixed in here. See, your batteries might be running low. Right. You should be saying, amen, amen, that's right, Pastor. Hallelujah. Yeah, a little amen here and there helps out. Okay? Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. Okay, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Do you believe? Okay. In my name, this is Jesus speaking, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Your spiritual prayer language. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by accident, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. In Jesus' name, you see? It's in Jesus' name. And what's James 5, 14 say? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I always come prepared. I got mine with me at all times. Because I believe in it. I believe when I anoint in the name of Jesus, things happen. Has nothing to do with me. Has to do with how I believe and where my faith level is. And I exercise the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 23, again, our Lord speaking, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Come on, Pastor. Yeah, there should be a lot of amen there. I tell you, we need them batteries charged up. We should commit everything we do or say to Jesus. That is how we are to live. In Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Say, to God be all the glory for His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's like the song says when you're speaking the name of Jesus. What does it say? Shout Jesus from the mountains. Shout Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Because His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. John chapter 14, verses 12 and 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, and you believe in him, right? The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do. Did you hear that? I like that. The works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus told his disciples, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And the same thing goes for us today. If you ask anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will do it.
Yes, same forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
The Greek word for ask here is the word aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. And it implies a demand of something due. Did you get that? It implies a demand of something due. Jesus was talking about using his name as a basis for authority to demand our rightful inheritance in Christ. Jesus wasn't saying we are to demand of God. See, God doesn't withhold any good thing from his kids. And we are his kids. He was saying we are to demand that Satan cease and desist in his operations against us in the name of Jesus. We are to exercise our authority over Satan and circumstances that are contrary to God's word. And we are to speak faith. Speak faith. And then boldly speak forth the command of faith in Jesus' name. In that mighty name of Jesus, speak forth. Yes. With faith. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. See, this is the account of Peter and John asking or demanding in Jesus' name. I want you to notice in this passage, the disciples didn't pray. They exercised their rightful authority in Jesus' name. Are we there? Verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Oh my, they went to prayer. Wow. Yeah, they went to prayer. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they went to prayer. Amen. We don't even ask you to come here that time. We say, hey, we're asking you to come on Wednesdays. Yeah. 6:45, we do a little bit of word stuff, and we do a lot of prayer. Amen. And prayer changes things, folks. Yes, it does. Especially when you get into corporate prayer. Yes, sir. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Yes, hallelujah. Okay, back to the message here. And a certain, verse 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. He couldn't walk, folks. He couldn't stand up. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. Boom, boom, come on. Look at us, he's saying. And right to the man. So he gave them his attention, comma, expecting to receive something from them. Something more value than what he was looking for. Yes, sir. But he was expecting something. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. And lifted him up. Can you just see that? Taking his right hand, and the Lord is grabbing hold of that man and go, whoa. You talk about supernatural strength. Wow. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Peter didn't demand anything of God when he commanded in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Why didn't he? Because God never made the man crippled in the first place. It was Satan. Peter demanded that the man arise and walk in Jesus' name. He used the name of Jesus to set the crippled man free from the bondages of Satan. Are you getting it? Verse 16, though Peter explains to the people, now he says, and his name. So in Jesus' name, through faith, in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has set him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter was Southern, you know that, y'all?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Charles is all happy about that. Hallelujah. It is the name of Jesus which gives us the authority over the devil and guarantees the answer to the command of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Again, though, the Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. Says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 10 says, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Include angels and demons. In other words, angels and demons alike are subject to the name of Jesus. They must surrender to the name because the name of Jesus is superior to every name that can be named in three realms: heaven, earth, and under the earth. As believers, the name of Jesus belongs to us. It belongs to us. Hallelujah. I think some of you got some new batteries. Hallelujah. Many times, though, his name doesn't mean as much to us as it ought. Often our thinking is wrong on this subject. If our thinking is wrong, our believing will be wrong. And if our believing is wrong, then our speaking will also be wrong. Comes down to words again, doesn't it? That you're thinking and you're believing. It affects the words that come out of your mouth. Yeah, that's why sometimes it's best y'all just keep quiet.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Best you when you're with family. See, we've got to get our thinking straightened out before the name of Jesus will mean what it should mean to us. And how do we do that? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to have faith in the name of Jesus before the name will produce results for us. As we word up, our faith in the name of Jesus increases. And results will also increase when we ask in the name of Jesus. Many Christians think the name of Jesus, or think of the name of Jesus in the same way that they think of a good luck charm. They have about as much faith in the name of Jesus as they do in a Buckeye in their pocket.
Right.
And some of you probably say, huh? And Mr. Osmond and Chet, you probably understand this. Somebody that grew up like I did, okay? A Buckeye was good luck.
Yeah.
Okay? And I had an uncle. I mean, if he pulled out of the pot, he carried that Buckeye with him. In fact, you know, he blessed me. He gave me a Buckeye. Gave me a Buckeye to carry for good luck. I still have that Buckeye. I don't carry it, but I got it down. And you know why I got it? Because it reminds me of my uncle.
That's right.
His heart was right, but his thinking and believing were way off.
He loved you, Pastor.
Yeah, he did. I got him saved, though.
Yeah.
And when he went on, he went to heaven. I'm just telling you right now in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Amen. But it's just like, you know, people put, you know, they think about it, the rabbit's foot. Not lucky for the rabbit because he done lost a foot. Rabbit's foot, right? You got the four-leaf clovers. Everybody's collecting them. Teresa's mom had, on the top of her TV set, she had a glass thing on top. Under it was nothing but four-leaf clovers. Man, she collected them. She could go out there and you all walk by and go, oh, there's one. Back in the house. I don't know. She collected them, though. Hallelujah. I don't know where that's at. That collection's at now.
Yeah, that's right.
She don't need it. She's in heaven.
That's right.
She's in heaven with Jesus. See, her faith got her there. It had nothing to do with luck. Because when we presented the word to her and the gospel to her, she accepted Jesus into her heart. And that's comforting to know when our loved ones pass, to know that we share Jesus with them. But anyhow, these kind of Christians who carry that good luck charm, you know, they think that in themselves something like, maybe asking in Jesus' name will work. You hear that?
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Or I sure hope something good comes out of asking in that name. Mm-hmm. Well, all I can say is what a shame. See, if you try the name of Jesus like it's some sort of good luck charm, nothing will happen for you. The only way you will ever see results is if God, in His mercy, intervenes on your behalf and does something for you in spite of yourself. We must get a revelation in our spirit that the name of Jesus belongs to us as a believer. See, we have the right to use the name. We have the right to use the name. When sickness and disease tries to attack us, we can demand the name, in the name of Jesus, leave my body.
Yeah.
Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it obeyed him. And since we have the authority of the name of Jesus, we can speak to our body and it will obey. It will. If symptoms of sickness and disease try to attack our healed, that's right, healed bodies, don't just accept them and go around talking about our troubles with others. That's a big mistake right there. You don't need to be talking about your problems to others. You need to be taking yours to the Lord and using the authority that He gave you. Because they all got problems too. And then we played a game of who's got the worst.
Come on,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about mine.
Yeah.
And they said, well, you know what? Let me tell you this one too. You didn't know. Hey, I got another one. I mean, I've been in them conversations. I've learned when it starts. It's what the word says. Get your hand in there. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. But instead, what are we supposed to say when sickness and disease tries to attack our healed body? And I said healed body. Why do I say healed body? What's 1 Peter 2:24 say? We were healed. So if we were healed, that means we are healed. So that means we are a healed body and sickness and disease tries to attack our healed body. Are you getting that? You see, you are healed.
Yeah.
It's sickness, disease is trying to attack you. And you don't have to put up with sickness and disease. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
Right.
It's what it says. It says that in Galatians 3:13. Is it not? You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And what's in the curse of the law but sickness and disease? And it comes out. You're dealing with lungs. It talks about consumption in there in verse 22 of Deuteronomy 28. And that is diseases and inflections of the lungs. You've been redeemed from that. And you got a loved one going through that? You can tell them you've been redeemed by the word. And Jesus is the one who redeemed you. So you healed.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's where you first went wrong. Agree with me and speak to your lungs. That's what you tell them. You speak to it. And you speak to it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you tell it, get out of this body. You don't put up with sickness and disease. You don't have to. I ain't preaching this just for you. I'm preaching this for me. Because, see, I need encouragement too. Do you think once I leave this pulpit, it's vulnerability? I'm just telling you it is. And I got to pray constantly. And that's why I read Psalm 91 and made it personal. Because I wanted you guys to understand. I got to do the same thing that I'm telling you to do.
Yeah.
I don't walk out there like I'm protected, like I got bodyguards. Or I got the CIA guarding me. I don't want them CIA guys, they party too much. When we exercise our authority by faith in the name of Jesus, sickness and disease must go. I know. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. Using the name of Jesus doesn't work by trying. It works by doing it. But we must have faith in the name before it will work for us. And we must exercise our rightful authority in the name before it will work for us. It takes two things there together. Your spirit man, the real you on the inside, is the ruler of your body. In other words, you are the ruler or caretaker of your own body. And you are the one who must exercise dominion over it in Jesus' name. Not someone else. You. You. It falls on you. Even when someone comes up here and prays for you and lays hands on you, if you don't believe it, see, it falls back on you. Are you wanting agreement on what you're standing for? See, it's up to you. Because once you come up there and lay hands, you must receive it. You must believe that you received it right then and there. When we prayed.
When?
And then when you walk out of here and the thoughts come, you say, no, I'm healed. I received it. Didn't you hear that, devil? You keep trying to talk to my head. Shut your mouth.
That's right.
Because I can't hear you. Na, 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 na. And guess what? You resist him, and what's the Bible say? He will flee in terror. Because he's, oh my, they're awake. That Christian's awake. Hallelujah.
Right.
Whoo, he's not walking in doubt and unbelief no more. Hallelujah. No, he is not. When Satan tries to attack your healed body with sickness and disease, stop him in the name of Jesus. Tell him boldly and loudly, Satan, you will not trespass against my healed body with your symptoms of sickness or disease. See, you can stop it right there. As soon as that symptom or that thought hits you, don't accept it, don't agree with it. Because when you agree with it, you're accepting it. You don't have to accept it. You do not have to accept it. Indeed. In the mighty name of Jesus, you must go, you tell it. Get out. All right. Where's my guys at? Hit the road and don't you come back no more, no more. Hit the road, sickness, and don't you come back no more. Right. No more. You don't have to put up with it. It will listen. It will hear when you speak in the name of Jesus to it. When you speak to it. You see, you, not someone else, are the caretaker of your body. You have the right to forbid Satan to trespass against your healed body with sickness and disease in Jesus' name. When we take authority over sickness and disease in our body and command it to leave in Jesus' name, we are demanding something do us. Freedom from whatever symptom you have been attacked by in your healed body. John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Remember, you're demanding that demon forces stop in their operation against us. Because sickness and disease come from the devil, not from God. We are exercising our scriptural authority over the devil in Jesus' name. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 6:10 to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven, and God doesn't want us to be sick here on earth. When we take authority over sickness or disease in our body, our healed body, in Jesus' name, we're just taking our place as a child of God with certain rights and privileges in Christ. We as King's kids. We as King's kids. What are we?
King's kids,
that's right. So you have certain rights and you have privileges. You have the name of Jesus. He left us his name, the name above every name. The name above every name. And what? They'll be bowing in heaven and on earth and under the earth. They will bow. We're just exercising our rightful authority as Jesus told us to do in his word. We not only have to exercise authority over the devil, we also have to exercise authority over our own bodies. You see, we've been taking authority over the devil and his sickness that's been trying to come to it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. The Apostle Paul says, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. To bring something to subjection is to take authority over it. Paul said he brought his body into subjection. In other words, he exercised authority over it to make it line up with the Word of God. Some believers don't bring their bodies into subjection because they are carnal or bodily ruled. Yet every believer has the ability to bring his or her own body into subjection, just as Paul did. Say, we can do it. Or I can say, you can do it. Because what's the word say? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And he gave us his name. How are we to pray in Jesus' name? We command something to leave. We do it in Jesus' name. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. Why do we put it on a shelf and don't use it? See, the devil knows when you lay it down. That's when he attacks you. You say, What just happened? You let your guard down.
Yes.
You got to keep the doors closed, right?
Yes.
You got to keep them doors closed. Just because Paul was an apostle doesn't mean he was saved any more than you or I were. He didn't have any more authority over his body than you or I do over our own. But he exercised authority. He brought his body into subjection. Romans 12, 1, he writes, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, another translation, it says, which is your spiritual service. Paul said, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is our spiritual service. And that applies to every believer. See, we are the rulers of our own body. If we weren't the ruler of our own body, we couldn't bring it into subjection. And we couldn't present it to God as a living sacrifice. If we're not the ruler of our own body, we wouldn't be able to take authority over sickness and disease that may try to harm us. But we are the ruler of our bodies. And thank God we have the right to live free from the bondage of sin, pain, sickness, and disease in Jesus' name. However, we must exercise the authority which belongs to us in His name, in the name of Jesus. Many times believers don't understand the authority they have in the name of Jesus. They have been brainwashed instead of New Testament taught to think that they don't have any say-so about anything that happens to them. Yeah. You know, everybody wants to convince you that you don't, but we got to be taught by the New Testament. In the New Testament, we're taught and shown that we can speak to our bodies. We can speak to our finances. You don't have to be poor no more. See, it's up to you. Lord, grant me the wisdom to be a good steward over my finances. Show me what I need to do. And the first thing you're going to say, are you tithing, kiddo? Because if you tithe, then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do you hear me? Do I have to shout it? It's in my word. You can read it. But we don't have to put up with poverty. We don't have to put up with sickness, disease, because we have the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is above all of the names. Rather than dominating the circumstances, some believers are being dominated by their circumstances. And we are to be dominating the circumstances, not the other way around. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't care what you're dealing with. He is the God of the possible. He, with everything with Him, is possible. But what's it take? Faith. It takes faith. Faith in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. We don't know the authority God has given us as we should. Or we do know it, and we don't always exercise the authority we ought to. We need to meditate upon the Word of God, which tells us who we are in Christ and the authority God has given to us in the name of Jesus. Real simple. Word up. Yes. Take Him at His word.
Yes, sir.
And then simply believe.
Yes, sir.
Don't make it hard. Don't get into too much thinking and reasoning. Now, that's natural. That's what the brain is for, to reason things out. But take believing above the reasoning. The name of Jesus won't work for you just because you saw someone else using it either. Ask the sons of Sceva. Them seven boys went in there, taking on them demons. One demon they were taking.
Yeah.
One. And they were speaking to it in the name of Jesus. But they had no idea what the name of Jesus stood for. And that one demon whooped him.
Yeah.
Seven boys. Sent him out there with no clothes on, bloody and beaten up.
Yeah.
One demon. It pays to word up and to know the power in the name of Jesus and that it belongs to you and it belongs to me. And then we must exercise it in faith. In faith.
In faith.
See, the name won't work for us as it should unless we apply it. And then we must apply ourselves to studying the Word. And then we can get the true meaning and the worth of the name of Jesus Christ. So you must be convinced of the Word of God for yourself. And then you act on the Word because you believe it to be true. You need to know the authority God has given to us in Jesus' name. We need to believe it. We need to exercise the authority in it. And that's what we must do. We must use the name of Jesus in faith. Otherwise, we will be ineffective and we will not get results. Here, I think you'll like this, brother. Unbelief cries and begs and pleads, but faith speaks and then it shouts the victory.
Yeah. Amen.
If you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. It is by faith we must approach Him. And then when we use the name of Jesus, we do it in faith because we know who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Know who you are in Christ.
Yes.
And use the name. Use the power in the name.
Yes.
We sang all those songs this morning, and that was all Holy Ghost orchestrated. And to me, that was very, I said, I like this. But also what my brother asked this morning. And I pray that you got some of the answers you were looking for. Because we all got family members going through things right now. Do we not?
Yes.
And we also got things going on in our own life. But it's all in how we approach it. The devil keeps throwing and throwing and throwing at me. And he asked me, how do you handle it? I said, I laugh. I said, devil, you could have quit.
Yeah.
You got to quit.
That's right.
And I just laugh at him because he's not taking me out.
Amen.
I'm not going anywhere.
Amen.
I'm here.
Amen.
He's got a purpose and a plan for me.
Yes,
and I plan on fulfilling that.
Amen.
And I plan on, that's why I asked him, okay, which way you want me to go now, Lord? What do you want me to preach on? What do I need to do? How do I need to live my life better for you?
Yes, sir.
And He will speak to you. He has spoke to me. And He will speak to you.
Amen.
Just ask Him.
That's right.
Call on Jesus.
Amen.
And when it comes to it, for your family, speak the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord God, for Your word this day. I thank You that it's went forth, Lord God, with power and demonstration. It has found good ground this day. And it, Lord God, will accomplish what You sent it out to do. Because those words were powerful. And it's Your words. It wasn't mine. I was merely the vessel, the delivery boy for You this day. And I thank You, Lord God, as we go our separate ways, Your angels are encamped round about us. And I pray peace in all of their households, Lord God. I pray for their time of gathering together with friends, neighbors, and just their family, Lord God. Let the peace of God reign big time in their homes, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.